Let's turn our Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. We're going to read three passages of Scripture. We'll start in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 21. And then we'll be moving into Exodus. And we're noting this morning the birth of Jesus Christ. We're separating myth and tradition from truth. And last week we noted where folks got the 25th of December from. It's rooted in Nimrod and Semiramis and Tammuz and the heathen worship of that, the winter solstice. We had handouts for you and gave you those things to assist in the names of the false gods as they're recorded in Scripture. We've noted that the birth of Jesus Christ was 6 months after John the Baptist, and Scriptures put John's birth in March, and you add March is the third month of the year, you add six to that and you get nine, that puts us in September. And the shepherds were still in the field. Well, the shepherds aren't in the field in December, but they are in September. Nobody would have a census and a taxation where you'd have to travel from Israel a great distance in December. It wasn't good traveling weather. So we noted as well that the wise men, weren't at the manger. They were in a house some 2 years after his birth. So we've just been looking at it and pulling things and, you know, saying, well, let's see what Scripture really says about this. Well, there's a lot of things that go with this time of year, and they don't have anything to do with Christ. And the purpose of this study is the Bible tells us that God would have us to sanctify ourselves. In fact, God even says, when you assemble in the church, I'm going to wash you and cleanse you, sanctify you with the Word of God. God would have us to be separated from His people. It was a sin for God's people in the Old Testament to have anything to do with these practices. And yet, many today who are Christians, out of ignorance, people who are saved, are having to do with the very same pagan false worship of gods. Well, ignorance is not bliss, and it is no excuse. So we're looking at these things, and may God sanctify us. May He separate us who have been called by His name unto Himself. In 1 John 5 and verse 21, this book, five chapters, almost seems to come to an abrupt end. But notice what John concludes with. He says, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen." It's kind of abrupt, isn't it? But it's concise. It's well said. And we ought to keep ourselves from idols. And if you turn over to Exodus chapter 20, and notice here, verse 3, 4, and 5, in the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, it says, Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Well, that's pretty plain, isn't it? And he begins to describe it further in verse 4, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." So here we have the command. And again, we see in the New Testament, it didn't change, did it? Keep yourselves from idols. God writes unto His people. Let's turn over to Isaiah chapter 46. Isaiah chapter 46. And we want to note here three things that are in reference. We're separating myth and tradition and truth and just separating them all out. We're, We're going to note three of the major things that happen with respect to what people call Christmas, what people really hold to on some traditions. We're going to note Santa Claus, we're going to note the Christmas tree, and we're going to note giving of gifts. We're going to note where they came from, how they got to be what they are today. You know, this guy named Santa Claus, he didn't always have an all red and white suit. You know where that came from? Coca-Cola. They hired a guy and to draw pictures of him, and I think it was like 2,200 pictures he drew, and they said, he's got to be in all red and white because those are our colors. And I'm sure you've seen, if you've watched TV, you've seen the commercials where Santa drinks Coke. He's a big promoter of it, isn't he? Well, that's how that came to be. He used to not have that. He used to have red and blue and gray. He looked like a gnome originally. Well, things changed. Well, let's look here, first of all, in Isaiah 46 and verse 9, the Bible says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. There's a lot of likenesses that you'll find in Santa Claus, and it sounds just like Jehovah God, doesn't it? Sounds just like Him. This man possesses a lot of the very attributes that we just studied. Look over, if you would, in Jeremiah 17 for a moment. I'm sure you're familiar with the different songs, and maybe you are, maybe you're not. If you are, that's fine. If you're not, that's fine too. But some of the things that are said about this Santa Claus is that He knows if you're sleeping or awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. How is that possible? I mean, my wife and I will be in the living room and she'll say, hey, will you go check on the kids? Will you see if they're all right? You see if they're asleep? I have to literally walk into that room and see if they're asleep or awake, see if they're doing things they ought not to do, or see if they're doing what they're supposed to do. But somehow, this guy who allegedly lives at the North Pole knows. Isn't that something? In Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. You see, what has been an attribute of God has been applied to someone else. And it's not harmless fun. It is essentially the attribute of omniscience, the attribute of omnipresence. He travels. I forget. I remember they used to tell you on the news how fast his sleigh would have to travel to go over. It's milliseconds. It's absurd to think that this happens. He's nearly omnipresent as he travels the whole world over, going into people's homes and leaving gifts. I tell you, if somebody came to my home, they'd probably get shot. He travels and he does all of these things, leaving gifts. And children are brought to him. I mean, I remember as a young boy, you'd go to the mall and they'd have these long lines. And the Scriptures tell us that in Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16, children are supposed to be brought to Christ. The painstaking that folks will do for children to see Santa Claus, but they cannot be bothered for their children to hear of the Lord Jesus Christ is astounding, isn't it?
Yes.
It's astounding. This man grew out of legends and superstitions. Folks say the idea of Santa is good. I can't find anywhere where lying is good. I can't find that. Of course, the idea is not good. It's never good. Pagan German deities were believed to come down chimneys to give rewards or punishments. They were solar gods or hearth spirits, as they were called. In China, fire gods dressed in red traveled from the heavens to homes, visiting them with good rewards or punishments. How did they know whether they deserved a reward or not? A Roman Catholic bishop who lived in Turkey round about 300 AD, name was Nicholas. Mothers told children that the bishop would return and leave them gifts after he died. That's where you get the concept of St. Nicholas coming in. You see, it's not one thing. It's a bunch of superstitions taking things from God Himself and applying it to an individual. Remember back in 08 when people were describing then-candidate for president, Obama, and they were talking about him. And I mean, some people almost deified him, didn't they? And I remember people talking about, oh, he's an Antichrist. Well, if he was an Antichrist, certainly Santa Claus is one. Nobody claimed Obama was omnipresent. Nobody claimed that he could tell whether people had done good or bad. But yet they claim this about this individual. It's not mere harmless fun when you have a substitute for God. It's called an Antichrist. That's what it is. He's said to be all-knowing, omnipresent, omnipotent. He has no parents. He does not age. He's the same age today as he was when you were children. He hasn't changed, other than I said Coca-Cola changed his suit. He's good, he's righteous, he's just, he forgives because nobody gets coal. And he hands out gifts. And it's so sad that many people's today's concepts about the true God actually sound more like Santa Claus than they do the one true God. Do you see how Satan has just blurred everything? In 1 month's time, people will do more for Santa than they've done for Jesus Christ in 12 months. That's where this is. It's all rooted in a false worship of a false preacher, of a false religion, and now somehow it has to do with Christ. Well, that's the origin of this fellow. Well, let's turn over to Jeremiah chapter 10 for a minute. Jeremiah chapter 10. And I remember some years ago, an individual, Dave Jones, lives in Holden, Missouri. And we were conversing about the subject, and he said, well, I just shake my head every time. He says, that's a Jeremiah 10 tree. I go, the what? It's a Jeremiah 10 tree. I went and got my Bible and flipped to Jeremiah 10. I goes, okay. So where'd the Christmas tree come from? Well, in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 1, it says, hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with an axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers, that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great in might, who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain, for as much as among all the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee. But they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. Silver spread into the plates is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Uphaz, the work of the workmen and of the hands of the founder. Blue and purple is their clothing. They are all the work of cunning men. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God, an everlasting King. At His wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide His indignation. In these verses, and you can keep reading, we see Jeremiah being impressed of the Spirit of God to write unto the nation of Israel. And you got to remember, Jeremiah, they were going to be carried away into Babylonian captivity. And so as they're being carried away, Jeremiah is writing unto the nation of Israel, and he's telling them, he says, while you're in captivity, don't learn the way of those heathen nations. And one of the ways of those heathen nations, the Babylonians, was the worship of Nimrod and Tammuz and Ashtaroth or Semiramis. And one of the things that they would do at the winter solstice is they would cut down a pine tree, an evergreen tree, and they would bring it into their homes. And they would set that tree up in their home. If you ever want to know why there's a star that's put atop the tree, it has to do with Tammuz, or Nimrod, the sun god, who came down and impregnated his wife after he died and was reincarnated in the form of his son, Tammuz. That's where that all comes from. And they decorated it with silver and with gold. You ever seen a Christmas tree with tinsel on it? Now we do lights and things of that nature. It's all originated right here. It's all part of that worship. God says, learn not this way. The weeping prophet is giving them charge that they don't engage in these customs. Look over in Leviticus chapter 18. God warned His people before they went into the land of Canaan. He said, listen, you're going to go into a land and there's people there. They're worshiping these false gods. You see, these already existed even before Israel went into the land of Canaan. And this all goes back, we said this, to after the flood with the Tower of Babel when Nimrod was on the earth and he started his own religion. And in Leviticus 18 and verse 1, you'll notice God tells them, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and saying to them, I am the Lord your God. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Ye shall do my judgments, and keep mine ordinances, to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. Notice this. He says, I am the true God. I am Jehovah. I am the only God there is, and there's none like me. And so don't do what the Egyptians did. Don't do what the Canaanites did. You follow my commandments and you obey me because I'm the one who saved your wretched, miserable self. I bought you with my blood. Baal has done nothing for you. Nimrod and Tammuz and Ashtaroth have done nothing for you. I did it. I gave my son for your sin. And you keep my commandments. And you live unto me. And you live devoted and consecrated to me. And you keep my word. This is what God spoke to them. You turn over to Exodus chapter 23. And notice how He lays these things out. Exodus chapter 23 and verse 23 and 24. Again, even before they went into the land, God had to warn them not to learn those ways. He didn't say, all right, now listen, the worship of Baal. I want you to take what they're doing, but I want you to do it to me. He didn't say that, did he? He said, don't learn their ways. Because he has his own way of being worshipped in spirit and in truth. And in Exodus chapter 23, and notice verse 23, for mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. You know where all these names came from? We read it last week. They were descendants of Noah's sons. They were related to Nimrod, who went out and started all this. And they had the Tower of Babel, and God gave them different languages and scattered them on the face of the earth. And they maintained their false worship, didn't they? In fact, this is exactly what God called Abraham out of in the land of Ur of Chaldees. He goes on into the next verse, verse 24, thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. And here we are erecting the very images they used. The particular custom that God forbid in Jeremiah 10 is the cutting of a tree out of the forest, fastening it in our homes, decorating it with silver and gold. The custom began in Babylon. The evergreen tree was the chosen symbol of Tammuz, was set up in honor of his birth at the winter solstice. Remember I said some time ago, I said they would eat ham, or you know how eating a Christmas ham? Well, they would eat a boar's head. They ate a boar's head in honor of Nimrod, who was a mighty hunter before the Lord. He was one who went out and hunted. And again, that phrase, he was a hunter, but also deals with he was a rebel against God. A boar, wild boar is a vicious animal. People have died from wild boar attacks. Nimrod went out and hunted different animals. And so they would kill and eat a boar. A boar's head in honor of him. We find as well that the Yule log, I'm sure you've heard of a Yule log. Maybe you've made or ate a Yule cake or a Yule log cake or something. Well, the Yule log is the stump end of the tree that's cut off and it's thrown into a fire for the purposes of sacrifices and other offerings and worships. And they would do different things to it. And anybody who knows this, it's not pagan worship, but you put salt on a fire, it's going to change the color of the flames. You put different things that you have in your pantry, different spices on it, and the flames will change colors. It's basic chemistry. But they did that, and they were offering these things unto their gods, and the fires would change colors, and that was this spirit, or that spirit, or the other spirit, or who knows? Probably their hearth spirits that were lived in their chimneys. I'll tell you, if I had evil spirits in my chimney, I'd turn that fire up higher. But this is where these things come from. People don't do Yule logs today because we have forced air units. But this is what was done. Again, some folks will say, well, these might be the origin of things, but, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Well, you need to get your thinking from the Scriptures. Not just on this, but on everything. God does not leave anything in our lives to our own imaginations or what we might think. He tells us from Scriptures. And we need to get our convictions from thus saith the Lord. We look at these things and turn over, if you would, in Deuteronomy chapter 12. Book of Deuteronomy chapter 12. Here the Bible teaches us in verse 30 and 31. And notice again the principle that God laid down. I mean, can you imagine Saul of Tarsus after God saved him and he's the Apostle Paul and he's there and he's preaching and teaching and churches are being established and they said, hey, Paul, listen, we're going to set up a tree and this guy's going to come around once a year and deliver gifts to these kids and this is what we're going to do. And Paul would go, that's Baal worship. But we have been so far removed and traditions have overshadowed and blinded things to our sight that folks don't know today. They have become ignorant of these things. And my generation and the generation that's coming after me, their mentality just about anything is, well, nothing really matters. Well, it does matter. And it's a sad thing to see. I've known folks who they were taught the truth and they've grown up and got out of their homes and they said they believed it and now they're right back doing things that they ought not to do. It's sad. In Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 30 it says, take heed to thyself that thou be not snared by following them. Following who? The ways of the heathen nations. Let me stop there for just a moment. The Bible says that the world hates Jesus Christ. Hates Him. But yet you mean to tell me that all of these people want to honor His birth? On December 25th? They don't care about His birth and it has nothing to do with His birth. And you can't make it have anything to do with His birth. Take heed, verse 30, to thyself, that thou be not snared by following them. After that they be destroyed from before thee, and that thou inquire not after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? Even so will I do likewise. Thou shalt not do so unto the Lord thy God. For every abomination to the Lord which He hateth, have they done unto their gods, even their sons and their daughters, they have burnt in the fire to their gods. People say, well, we're not burning our kids. Well, that was what God said they got to. And guess what? Israel got there too, didn't they? We find that Scripture said, we read it in Jeremiah 10 and verse 2, learn not the way of the heathen. So we cannot Christianize heathen customs and make them palatable to God. He's not going to accept these things. Any more than God is pleased with baptizing babies or infants. Any more than God is pleased with using crackers and grape juice or tomato juice in the Lord's Supper. Any more than God is pleased with easy believism or anything else that violates His Word. You're not going to make it pleasing to God. We cannot honor God by doing contrary to what He says in His Word. You don't honor your own earthly fathers by doing things. Your father tells you to do something and you say, well, I'm not going to do that. Tommy or Jamie on down the street, she does it this way or he does it. I'm going to do it that way. You think your earthly father is going to be pleased with you? No. If your earthly father tells you to do something, do it a specific way, that's the way you're supposed to do it. Well, our Heavenly Father, those of us who've been saved by the grace of God, we are His children and He says, this is how you're to worship me. We can't improve upon it. We can't make it better. Adam and Eve tried giving Him aprons of fig leaves. Cain tried giving Him vegetables. He rejected it, didn't he? He's not going to accept anything unless He has stated, this is what I will receive in my word. When the false churches came into Europe, These customs were already there. We told you why and showed you last week, because when God scattered them upon the face of the earth and He changed their languages, that's where the different names came from. They still had the same customs, just different names, because the languages changed. So when the false church comes into Europe and they've got their winter solstice and they've got Odin and they've got the Norse gods and the Viking gods, and you go get on to England and the different names that they went by, and they show up there and they've got all these customs, and they just can't get these people to worship Jesus Christ. You know why they couldn't get them to worship Jesus Christ? Because they hadn't been saved. That's why. Because they were trying to convert them by sword instead of the sword of the Spirit. They were trying to make them followers of Christ. You can't make people followers of Christ. Only God can do that. And you know how He does it? By the preaching of the gospel. And they weren't preaching the gospel. They had some other gospel. And so as Rome comes into Europe, they began to compromise. They said, all right, well, you can keep your winter solstice and you can keep all your festivals, but you know what? You're going to do it in the name of Jesus. You realize up until the 1800s, Christmas was outlawed in Massachusetts, our very own country. Because when those Puritans came over from Europe, they said, we'll not have this here. The Puritans were interested in purity and in doing what Scripture says. And it was outlawed on the very lands of this country. It's an amazing thing how far things have come. And so they did this, and they took these things, and we have where we're at today. Look over in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2. This one might be my favorite. Matthew chapter 2, the giving of gifts. Now, I don't know about you, but when I have a birthday, it's not that I expect gifts, but if everybody got a gift but me, that seems the opposite of a birthday, doesn't it? And isn't that essentially what folks do? Oh, we give everybody a gift but Jesus on this day that's supposed to be His birthday. I mean, if people celebrated my birth by going into debt, buying things they don't have money for, things they don't need, I'd feel pretty terrible, wouldn't you? If folks, the gifts that they gave, I mean, have you seen some of these, the news, Black Friday news, people dying over stuff? All the terrible things, and you know, I was talking to somebody, the church, I use the term loosely, the church that they attend, they're having this pageant, Christmas festival, and just, you know, when people talk about the spirit of the season and the spirit of Christmas, that's it. Because people almost came to blows over this pageant. I said, yeah, that's the spirit of Christmas. We find the tradition is rooted in paganism. People say, boy, you sound like a broken record. I'm just telling you where it comes from. The customs of Germany, Europe, all of Europe, Germany, England, Netherlands, France, customs of China, all of these, they would give gifts this time of year. It had to do with Tammuz and his birth. Birthdays have been observed probably since they occurred when Cain was born. Gifts are given to honor folks when they were born. Yeah, when it comes to Christmas and the alleged birth of Jesus Christ, nobody gives Jesus a gift. It's amazing to watch folks give gifts, the immense stress and pressure to buy the right gift, to spend money folks don't have, yet none of it is in the Bible. I remember a buddy of mine, I was talking to him, he's not saved, but we were conversing on the phone. He says, well, last year I spent $2,000. on each kid, and this year I'm going to spend $3,000, but things are getting tight. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. And I said, where do you get that concept? I said, where do you get the concept that you have to spend more money every single year, whether you have it or you don't? Where did you get these figures from? I said, I've known you longer than your kids. Send me the money. I was joking, but I didn't know if he'd do it. The point that I'm making at is that none of it has to do with Christ. None of it has to do with His worship. You look here in Matthew chapter 2, and when these magi, these wise men, when they came in verse 11, and they found Christ, He was in a house, it says, when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped Him. There is no worship of Jesus Christ. There's none in the giving of gifts. When we come and worship the Lord on the Lord's Day, we give Him praises and honor and glory that's due unto His name. Spiritual sacrifices, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Somebody said, I don't agree with it, and I'll tell you why. Somebody said, when you get down on your knees and you put the gift underneath the tree, you're worshiping the tree. I said, well, then the sleeping church member in the church pew is worshiping Jesus. It takes a lot more effort than just being in a posture to worship something. I understood what they meant. I just don't agree with it. That means every time I got to paint base trim and I have to get down on my hands and knees, I guess I'm worshiping the wall in front of me, doesn't it? Just because you're down on your hands and knees doesn't mean you're worshiping something. It's preposterous. But I understand the concept of which they're talking about. But these fell down and worshiped Him. This word is employed throughout the New Testament to describe the worship of the true Lord God. And it says that when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto Him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now, we've said before, and we want to clarify this, that when a king was born, many would come to present themselves unto a king, and they would offer gifts to them. But these were gifts not merely given to a king, but to the divine King, the King of kings and Lord of lords. These wise men understood who it was. And they came to adore Him and worship Him. And these gifts were not merely bestowed on Him because He was just some king that was born. No, He was the King. And it wasn't December 25th. And there was no evergreen tree. And they gave the gifts to Him. They didn't give them to everybody else. And if you look at these gifts, I want you to remember this. They gave Him gold, and they gave Him frankincense, and they gave Him myrrh. There were three kinds of gifts. Doesn't mean there were three wise men. There's probably a caravan of them. Joseph and Mary were dirt poor. And they had to make a flight into Egypt. And God sustained them for the flight, the trip, the travel, the time they were in Egypt, and their return with that gold. And they had frankincense and they had myrrh, and these were two spices that were not only of high value, but these were very useful, and they were considered some of the best gifts of the day. And they bestowed the very best they had on the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that what people do when they give gifts? They're bestowing the very best they have on the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not even giving stuff to Him. You see, all of this, all of these things, this custom of giving gifts in Germany, in England, Netherlands, France, China, all of it, it all had to do and was a result of that worship of Baal. We can go on. We can talk about the mistletoe. We can talk about caroling. Caroling originated from, they would run through the streets drunk, kicking in doors like they did at Sodom and Gomorrah, raping and pillaging people. That's the origin of caroling. That's where that came from. It's all of pagan false worship. Every bit of it. And not one of it honors and glorifies God. Now I want to say this before we close with this message this morning. There are some folks who the pendulum has swung too far. You know what a pendulum is. You see a grandfather clock and it's the thing that swings back and forth. A lot of people in their angst to distance themselves from Christmas and Saturnalia and false worship, as the expression goes, they've thrown the baby out with the bathwater. Well, don't do that. There are many people who won't even talk about the birth of Christ. I mean, I've been in churches and you open up a hymnal and they've got a hymn crossed out and they say, well, that's a Christmas hymn. I go, it's not a Christmas hymn. It's a hymn about the birth, the incarnation of Jesus Christ. You can sing a hymn and you can preach sermons on the birth of Jesus Christ. You can do it in July. You can do it anytime the Lord leads. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Don't put Christ in Christmas, but don't get rid of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Don't let that pendulum swing too far. I'm always amazed, some of these folks too, and they sing, there's one hymn, Joy to the World, and they'll say, oh, that's a hymn, that's a Christmas hymn. It not even had to do with the birth of Jesus. It's about His second advent. Isaac Watts wrote that based on one of the Psalms about the second coming of Jesus Christ. People need to get their Bible straight. And we need to, as the Bible says in Revelation 18 and verse 4, come out from among them, my people, and be ye separate. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. It's God's will for us to serve Him. It's God's will for us to walk as close to Him as possible. God would have those who He saved through the blood of Jesus Christ to be separate and live separate to Him. Why, you and I think it would be very strange if folks offered sacrifices to Baal. We think it very strange, some of the customs that people would do. Well, we ought to come out of them. We ought to do what Christ has actually commanded us to do. If we actually did what Jesus commanded us to do, our day would be full. We wouldn't have time for practices and things that He hasn't commanded. And so we pray that God would take His Word and make it effective as He sees fit. May He stir our hearts. May He give us